six.
Six or seven.
I have to show y'all what Luke and I found on camera the other day. Now,
it's a bear.
That's a bear, but you see this right here? That's the back of a second bear. There were two bears right there.
Over here.
Boy, that's a big one, too.
That is a big bear. He looked around at me and said, hey, is he worth the thing we ought to be walking in here with no gun?
Yeah.
I said, it's going to be a big fight.
Well, it was.
Tony's going to be late.
We got a piece of land that Luke and I have. We're the only ones allowed to hunt on it. So
you can go bear hunting sometimes.
That's the first thing I said. It sounds like I'm going to get a bear permit.
Good evening, Mr. Dog.
David had a little bit of
No, it's not. 6:59. 7 o'clock. You know what?
We're ready. Mr. O'Brien's not here. Oh, okay. I looked at my phone and it hadn't gone. Okay.
Okay, that's what you told me. I'm just following instructions.
I'm glad they told you, and I'm glad you let me know.
Now 7 o'clock, we open the Sylvania County Planning Commission regular meeting for July the 9th at this time. Our first item of business is the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. The next item is our director's report.
Yes, good evening. I'm glad to be here tonight. My name is Douglas Miles. I'm the new Community Development Director here on behalf of the Planning Department. We have before you the Director's Report. This is updates from the Board of Supervisors' actions from June 19th. There we go. And your the first case on June 19th was the Colonial Circle case that was the rezoning case that created that development, and then the associated SUP request for the increased density for the Colonial Circle residential density as part of that were both approved by the board 4-1 that night. Last week on July 2nd's board meeting, we didn't have any zoning cases. However, we did work with Mr. Payne and the board on the temporary signs ordinance amendment that'll be coming to you all at the Planning Commission. That's something we're gonna set up for you all to review. And then also we worked with the board in the new proffer requirements that are in place now as of July 1st. You remember in the last couple of years, we were not allowed to talk to developers relative to the proffers and the residential cases. The General Assembly has changed some of that along with the home builders and basically developers across Virginia. So we're gonna be able to be working with you all on some zoning cases that have that. So in working with Mr. O'Brien on the board, he asked that we schedule some Planning Commission training with you all on that here at the end of the summer, into the fall. We'll do that, and most likely kind of do that in conjunction with the CIP process this fall, because they work hand in hand. If there's something in the CIP that the Planning Commission and board wants addressed by a developer, they can usually do that and do that type of action, and usually within 2 years or less address that need that might be available. It's not always cash related. It may be land donation, work that needs to be done for on a fire station and so forth in that district. Moving on, Board of Zoning Appeals on June 18th had the Keith Ray variance request. It's located over off of Lake Monticello Road. This was dismissed, excuse me, by a 3-0 vote. Then the Greenberries request was the variance that it's kind of related to what we're doing tonight, but the variance request was for the setbacks in the Zion Station industrial subdivision. That was denied 3-0, and we hope Mr. Payne and I have brought forward the amendment for you tonight that we'll talk as reason for the joint work session, or excuse me, joint public hearing. On to some of the county staff planning the technical review committee that was on June 13th. The Fork Union Fire Training Station building went through site development as the request. That's located down in the Fork Union area. Holly Steele, planner, will be doing that for you tonight as well, kind of going over some of that. Everything's in going quite well on that. The next one is the Lane self-storage facility that's located up in the Zion Crossroads area. And Mr. Brad Robinson will be doing that one for you. The Central Virginia Electric Cooperative parking lot expansion. This is the site that's located over off of Union Mills Road, south of there. This is for their expanded broadband requirements so that they can get some of the contractors to have parking and some other areas to do their work before they go in the field. The last one is actually from Mrs. Mary Jane Cathers. This is the Alpaca Farm Products location. Holly Steele and I met with Mrs. Cathers last week. She is still working through some of her architectural plans for the building. We met with the building official, Kevin Zoll. So she's currently not going before for her SUP until she gets those documents into us, so we're working with her. She has a lot of the plans that she needs, we need them in a format that is acceptable to the building official. That's all I have tonight. I appreciate being able to meet all of you all, and I'll meet Ms. Bay here shortly after the meeting. But I'm glad to be here. I've been here about 2 weeks now. If some of you may or might know, I'm coming to you from Prince George County, which is south of Chesterfield in the kind of Petersburg Tri-Cities area. I was there for about 16 and a half years, and then prior to that I was at Chesterfield County Planning for about 10 years. So I've been in the Richmond region, and my wife and I are listed our house yesterday for sale, and we're looking to forward to move here soon. We're working with the real estate agent and quite excited to move to more of the Charlottesville region. So that's all I have, Chairman Boo. I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Just see if I have any clear stuff.
So we just welcome you some time.
Yes, we do welcome you.
Thank you, sir.
Next item on our agenda is a first of two public comment sections for the night. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak to anything about the county, other than this public hearing, which you will be allowed to speak as a public hearing if you're here for that. You will be allowed 3 minutes. Anyone wishing to come forward and state your name. Seeing no one coming forward, we will end our first of two public comment sections for the night, and we'll go over to our minutes from the June 11th and the June 19th meeting. Does anybody have any comments about the meeting, the minutes from June 11th? Does anybody have a motion about the minutes for June 11th?
I move we accept the minutes as presented.
Okay. I have a motion from Mr. Zimmer to accept the minutes for the June 11th meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Johnson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay. The next item is the minutes from the June 19th meeting, which was a joint meeting with the Board of Supervisors.
call the regular meeting of Bohannon County Board of Supervisors to order. Do we have an adoption for the agenda?
So may.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. And we will begin looking at public hearing with A, ZTA 1901, Industrial District Setbacks. Brad Robinson.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman. I'm going to give you a brief presentation for Zoning Text Amendment ZTA 1901. So just to make it clear as we move forward, this text amendment is going to apply only to business and industrial subdivisions. It's not going to apply to the districts in their entirety. So it won't apply district-wide. So currently within the I-1 zoning district, our ordinance requires a 50-foot setback from the right-of-way if you're within a subdivision that is for business or industrial use. If you're not, then the setback requirement is normally 100 feet, which would apply to other properties. The 100-foot setback requirement is remaining in effect. It's proposed to remain in effect. And then in the I-2 zoning district, we currently require a 200-foot setback from the street right-of-way, and that's for all properties, regardless of whether they're within a subdivision for business or industrial use or not. So on the screen, you see the chart of our current setback requirements and what I'm speaking of. So as I was saying, in the I-1 district currently, you're normally required to have a 100-foot setback. If you're within a subdivision for business or industrial use, you're allowed to go down to 50 feet. In the I-2 district, we have just a straightforward 200-foot setback, and there is no exception as to whether you're in a subdivision or not. So just some background on what kind of initiated this discussion and this zoning text amendment. Some of you are aware that the Board of Zoning Appeals recently heard a case for one of the lots in Zion Station subdivision. It was lot 6, which is on the screen. It's a corner lot that was situated at two intersections, and based on the two street frontages, they were required to meet a front setback from both street frontages. And as you saw with the regulations that I just went over, they would have been required based on the I-1 zoning of the property to have a 50-foot setback from both street frontages. So they submitted a variance request asking to reduce that setback from 50 feet to 25 feet. There were several issues in that variance request, some concerns that they didn't meet all of the criteria that you're required to meet by state code and our county regulations to be granted a variance. So that is kind of what initiated this discussion about instead of having the applicant request a variance, maybe the county should take a look at amending the ordinance instead. So our county attorney drafted a resolution, which is in the packet, and that resolution was adopted by the board at their June 5th meeting. So currently, the ordinance that accompanies that resolution proposes to reduce the current setback in the I-1 district. If you're within a subdivision for business or industrial use, reduce that setback from 50 feet to basically not having a setback requirement at all. So if you see on the screen, it's striking the language of 50 feet minimum setback. And basically, the language proposes that the building just has to be located in a manner that it at all times is located as to provide safe and efficient access to, from, and within the property, including site distance and turning, stacking, and other traffic circulation features and facilities. So rather than having a minimum setback of 50, we would not have a setback requirement, and it would allow flexibility to locate the building on the site based on the conditions of the site. And then within the I-2 district, as I mentioned earlier, we currently don't have a provision for applicants to go less than 200 feet if they're within a subdivision for business or industrial use. So the county attorney has drafted the ordinance that adds similar language as you see in the I-1 district to the two districts, so this language is basically identical. And it also proposes that buildings, it doesn't propose a minimum setback, but just states that the buildings have to be located so as to provide safe and efficient access to, from, and within the property. And again, just to make sure it's clear, in the I-1 district, properties that are not in a subdivision will continue to meet the 100-foot setback. And in the I-2 district, properties that are not within a subdivision will continue to meet our 200-foot setback. So to conclude my presentation, this text amendment is proposing to remove the requirement of a minimum building setback from the street right-of-way within industrial and business subdivisions. It would allow flexibility with site design and building orientation based on the site. And the proposed text amendment was intended to encourage economic development in the county. Now, as you move forward into your discussion, the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors may want to also consider, instead of not having a setback requirement, possibly reducing our current setback requirement of 50 feet in the I-1 district or 200 feet in the I-2 district. And again, this is within subdivisions. So as you see on the screen, staff has kind of talked and discussed amongst ourselves and kind of agreed on a recommending maybe a 25-foot minimum, but you're certainly welcome to come up with whatever you feel is appropriate. So that concludes my presentation. I can try to answer any questions you might have at this time.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a couple of observations?
Yes, sir.
First of all, just be conscious of the fact that this amendment deals only with a setback from the roads. If you recall, there was an amendment not too long ago concerning setback from abutting properties of different zoning characteristics. That will remain unchanged by this. The second thing is, with this, as to the staff's comments, I don't have any problem with what the staff's recommending with the 25 feet. That's entirely up to you all. When I drafted it with essentially a zero setback, subject to the traffic concerns and whatnot, my concept there was to make it as flexible for you as possible, so that if you thought it didn't need a setback, you would have it before you and you could adopt it. If you thought it needed anything between 50 feet and zero, you could amend it to say that. So the staff and I are in agreement with their recommendation. They have good reasons for the 25 feet, and I don't have a problem with that.
Thank you. In our discussion today earlier, when we had a conference call, I also thought 25 feet would be advisable. One of the things I was looking at is this may work with zero today, but it might change as future goes on. One of the things I thought about is, suppose we did not require a sidewalk for this piece of property and pedestrian traffic came along, where would we put a sidewalk? Also, the fact that possibility, if underground utilities were needed at some time or other, we would be forced to tear up the road and be putting the underground utilities. So I was just thinking the fact that we need at least a 25-foot setback.
That's correct. It should. We currently have a minimum 25-foot setback for the parking. So that was some of the reasoning behind why we chose to go with 25-foot. It would be in line with the minimum parking setback.
This zoning text amendment came to us kind of from a specific request there in the subdivision we saw. Would this, to 25 feet, meet their proposed needs? Would their proposed plan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That was the variance they were asking for.
Right.
That's not why the staff picked that number, but it is
correct.
So if I can get just a little bit more clarification, I mean, I just misinterpreted.
yes, you did misunderstand it. The original draft, the one you have in your packet, talks about no setback except to accommodate those concerns of traffic and whatnot. This draft is being proposed to be revised so that the 25 feet is a hard number. If there's a traffic problem, for example, if there's a sight distance problem, the setback could be increased to accommodate that, but it would be at least 25.
So we would be proposing to keep the safety language in there.
Yes.
And just not allow it to go below 25.
Yes,
feet.
Correct.
So we could require it to be 50 or 75 or whatever, I guess.
If you do nothing, it'll be 50 feet in the I-1 and 200 feet in the I-2. You could do that, just leave it alone. You could reduce it to zero or anything in between. And they don't have to be identical. It just makes sense that they should be. Made sense to me.
And are there any questions from him?
No.
Should any language be reserved to, say, an I-2 situation to allow the setback to be greater than 25 feet?
It is. If that was the safety language, would allow that.
Okay. Sorry, I missed that. Now, the thought comes to mind of Papa Jim's. We had that setback issue with them a while back where they were approaching. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of concern about whether the building was too close to the road and mm-hmm. safety and so on. So that's
the kind of thing that language is intended to accommodate. So if you needed, the first thing that occurred to me was sight distance. So that if you had a building that was right up on the road, you might not have a safe entrance. But it would also accommodate stacking lanes and things like that. Papa Jim's was, of course, a different situation because there were existing buildings.
Sure.
But that's not a bad analogy.
Alrighty.
Does anybody else have any questions for staff?
And from also what I heard, you say, Mr. Robinson and Mr. Payne, that making this change to 25 feet would encourage the economic development that we are looking for.
I feel it would assist with properties that are within subdivisions, industrial
concept,
subdivisions.
The concept is it allows a greater concentration of the industrial uses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a given building coverage, you can accommodate on a smaller area so that you can get more bang for your buck for your industrial property, essentially.
And
make it more efficient.
If somebody wanted to go below 25 feet, they just have to come back and do the process all over again.
Well, they're going to have trouble getting below 25 feet because they would then be in the same situation that this applicant was in this case. The Board of Zoning Appeals doesn't act the way either the commission or the Board of Supervisors does. It's governed by some really quite strict evidentiary mm-hmm. rules. And the problem with this applicant was that there were at least two of these statutory criteria that they couldn't meet. And, everything needs to be taken on its own factual merits. But I would anticipate you'd have the same thing if somebody came back and said, I can't meet 25.
So that's why you had the language in there at the beginning with no setback.
Well,
so if that happened, they had to put something within 10 feet.
My suggestion for that was simply, if you want to increase the efficiency of the use of industrial land, don't have a setback. And
okay.
The staff has a more nuanced view of it, with which I have no argument. But I can see why they would be. It's in some sense it's better to have a number because then everybody can look at the number and see what to plan for. The other one was a more subtle site-specific approach.
And this is different than Papa John's, which is on 15. This only would only contribute to the setbacks in the subdivisions.
That's correct.
So Papa John would still have to have 100 feet.
Well, if it were industrial, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's an important point. What we talked about as staff is that basically in the industrial subdivisions, Ion Crossroads or what have you, where we're encouraging the economic development. We still, on routes like 15 and 53 and other major corridors, want to have a 100-foot setback for future widening or straightening or whatever that VDOT may do, so that we have that adequate space. So 20 or 30 years from now, the building's not 5 feet from the road with the sidewalk. So again.
Of course, the other thing is with a major road like 15, one of the things that we've seen in real life occasionally with an industrial use is the size of the vehicles going in and out of them. You don't have enough stacking space, and you end up with a major tractor trailer, and it ends up hanging out into the road. So that 100-foot setback makes a lot of sense for a lot of different reasons in that case. In an industrial subdivision, you know, that's everybody's in the same boat, basically, that you've got to design your building to accommodate that sort of thing.
And once you're inside the industrial subdivision, you're not going 55 miles an hour.
I hope not.
Another concern I had is the fact is that, say you had a corner lot, and you had a setback over here, but it was up against the property line here, and you also have a road here, you come up to the stop sign, that building would be blocking part of the site.
Do it every day in Wilmington.
But that could be.
And I worry about it every day.
We do, in fact, but that could be, I mean, that's the kind of safety thing that the language without the 25-foot minimum would deal with. You know, when that site plan came in, you saw that I want my building to be on the corner of the road. Surely staff, I would trust staff to say, no, that's not going to fly because you need some site distance. And you don't need a lot of site distance when you're on the go on 20 miles an hour or 25, hopefully, in the subdivision. I mean, I think there's real value into using the industrially zoned land as efficiently as you possibly can, which means squeeze it as much as you can into every acre of that property within the limits of safety concerns.
Mr. Chairman, you may want to note Mr. Zimmer is a member of the Board of Zoning Appeals, so he heard the discussion there, so if he could educate you.
Yeah, and your comment was somebody could come and get below the 25 if that's the rule. I don't think that would happen because it's something that applies to every similarly zoned property, which is one of the criteria for not approving it. Right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen.
If there's no other questions for staff, we'll open the public hearing at this time. Anyone wanting to come forward and speak about this, please come forward, state your name and address. Seeing no one coming forward, we will end the public hearing on this matter and open it for discussion.
Mr. Zimmer, I think you just said that you would have more ability to do stuff without 25 feet than you would with 25 feet.
I mean, the business would. The BZA wouldn't have to rule on anything if they had that. Yeah, they wouldn't have to get a zoning text or a zoning variance.
I believe for many reasons that 25 foot is reasonable, and I think also the planning staff looked into that, and they recommend that also. Like I said, many reasons that you might want to end up putting a sidewalk because you don't have a place to put a sidewalk. You want to put in underground utilities and you don't have it. So we're talking about sometimes the present, but we got to think about the future when
sidewalk ordinance, wouldn't they have to have a waiver when you build it and not to have a sidewalk?
We could possibly have done that. You know, and at the time, we may say that a sidewalk is not necessary, maybe a sidewalk is nowhere, but then the pedestrian traffic may increase in that area, and we might think that we need a sidewalk, and then we don't have a place to put it.
We're talking about this would only apply in areas that are industrial areas, correct?
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm not gonna, whatever the proposal is, I'm not gonna vote against it, I'll say that, I think this needs to be done, but I think the 25 is a needless restriction. I think based on where, because of where it's located, it's in industrially zoned subdivisions. I think all those things, typically they're gonna have the utility infrastructure in them already, so we're not really a big concern about putting more utilities on those streets in there that this 25 feet would allow for. The roads are what the roads are, they're gonna be built for industrial traffic because it's in an industrial subdivision already. I think all that stuff's been accounted for by the fact that it's an industrial subdivision, and I would rather see us provide the maximum flexibility for the folks to utilize the space. Again, not that many properties zoned industrial. Folks aren't gonna do that unless they have a business in mind because it increases their tax burden likely. There's just a lot of reasons to use that most efficiently, and a 25-foot setback around the whole property or along all the roads isn't necessarily needed every time. So I think there's opportunity to use it more efficiently if we don't.
I think I would agree with the zero setback too. The thing about it, sometimes these regulations you pass, they have good intentions, but further on up the line, somebody else is interpreting, they look at it, and they say it's carved in stone, and that's what it is, and we got to live with it. I would agree with almost the center of the day.
Okay, do we have any more discussion? Okay. Do I have a motion from the Planning Commission about this?
Mr. Chairman, just for your guidance and your action, you'll note that draft ordinance version 1 is the zero setback. Version 2 is the 25-foot setback. So when you make a motion, if you make a motion to approve, you should reference one or the other.
So what are they again?
1 and 0.
0 on the left, 25 on the right.
So I'd like to make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of version 1, zero setback, right? Version 1 of ZTA 1901, an ordinance to amend chapter 22 of the Yavanna County Code by the addition of a new subsection 22-11-5 and 22-12-5 to reduce the minimum building setbacks for properties in industrial subdivisions in version 1-0. Potential for zero setback.
Okay, I have a motion from Mr. Zimmer for version 1. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Johnson for the version 1. All in favor of version 1, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes no. 4-1.
Alrighty. Do we have a motion?
I have one question.
Yes, ma'am.
Right now, how is the subdivision being provided water and sewer?
We don't have public water up there yet.
Right. So is it on wells?
It will be on this property.
It will be public.
We're taking easements across lots in this subdivision.
If the subdivision wants to hook up to it, they certainly can hook up to it. So how they get the water to each building, that's to be determined.
Well, that's what I was concerned about, is if they're going to take the pipes in there, they'll have to be able to get them in the ground. That's all.
In other words, you need 25 feet, possibly.
Well,
I mean,
my one thought about that is if somebody's putting a building in there between now and a year from now when we have pipes in the ground, they're going to plan for that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but what if there are no pipes in the ground at that point in time, and then 5 years later, they expand as they district over there. It's a pretty small distance to give up for future planning. And I just think it's yeah, even though you hope the best decisions are made by planning and by staff and so on, it's you know, it's always hard to see in the future. This is just one area where I think we can prevent some additional costs down the road for the county from that perspective.
And just one thing to add, the 0 to 25, those are just, I mean, the board can choose something in between that amount too, if they choose. Just keep that in mind.
Lord knows there's plenty of real estate to purchase, but we lose a business because they needed a 20-foot setback instead of 25, and there is no flexibility to deal with.
What is typical in other counties?
The staff report contains a list of a number of other counties, and they range from, Mr. Lagomarsino can correct me, but I think it's 10 feet in Almaral, and it goes to various numbers, 50 feet, 100 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Almaral was 10 right feet. Dinwiddie was, looks like
10.
Yeah, Almaral's 10.
I think we need some distance there, whether it's 25 feet or not.
It's at the bottom. Keep going down.
I would caution you, if you're going to put, I think the staff has a good rationale for the 25 feet. The zero line is self-evident. If you're going to do anything else, just be mindful of how you get to that number. You need to justify it in your own mind, how you get there.
Well, if we don't have a setback in the planning stage when it's being built, wouldn't you consider that it had to have pipes since we're taking water up there? Wouldn't that be up to the planning department at that point if there's no specific setback?
That's right, Mrs. Eager. After this ordinance is adopted, once we go forward in any administrative site plan review, we're going to administer whatever is adopted tonight. So I want to also remind you that we started at 100, then we went to 50, and now we're at 25 and zero. So basically, the way that the ordinance amendment and the current ordinance is set up is, if you're able to meet in the industrial subdivisions, the what I call uses a use with a setback with certain restrictions, you're meeting those things, those criteria, then that would be appropriate. If not, you would go back to 50 and then as Mr. Payne has indicated. So we do recommend, again, a 25-foot setback. We feel that's appropriate. With your parking being at 25, you can't have the building in front of that.
You could park in that 25-foot setback?
No.
No parking?
It's 25-foot setback for the parking.
For the parking. Mm-hmm. So, in essence, the building would be at the property line, and your parking would be behind it now, because you'd have to meet a 25-foot setback. And you can't meet a 25-foot setback for parking.
It's possible to do that if you had relegated parking or something like of that sort, but it would. He's quite correct. If you're going to do an ordinary building with parking in front, you can't put it less than 25 feet anyway.
Because you have to have the parking lot there.
If you're going to have the parking lot in front, the parking lot's going to be 25 feet.
Right, so it's our intention that all the parking will be behind these buildings?
No, not necessarily. The one you saw from the Board of Zoning Appeals, the building's L-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
So the parking is kind of in the junction between the two arms of the L.
Okay.
I mean, for that particular subdivision, let's just say you had zero, I mean, that property owner developer could bring the property out to the edge of the property line a little bit closer, and he still has the parking in the middle. Maybe bring the that one.
The graphic.
Yeah.
Again.
I think it's fair to say that with this, what I would call the safety language, you're not going to see a building right on the right-of-way line, because it wouldn't be practical to do that and get stacking, site distance and stacking space and all that kind of thing in. But it's flexible up to a point. You can see what I was saying about the L-shaped building.
So that's 25 feet in the white as a setback?
This area right here on the radius of the cul-de-sac
right there.
Mr. Dahl's going to show you?
That's the 25 feet.
That's the 25-foot setback that this building's currently meeting. The one they weren't meeting was over here, I believe, Mr. Zimmer, right here. In this area. A corner of the building.
They weren't, eventually we're not going to meet the 50-foot setback on the other end of that building.
But they meet the 25-foot setback?
Yes. For this particular.
I got you. The one line that goes through the building twice is a 50-foot line.
This is just an example. This is it's a good example for a lot of purposes, but this is going to apply across the board. So it wouldn't have to be a corner lot. Wouldn't have to be an L-shaped building. You could put the parking. Parking could be behind it if the building was set back 25 feet. Wouldn't make any difference. If you're familiar with, what's the shopping center in Albemarle where Target is, Mr. Martin Sr.?
Hollywood Town Center.
That's an example of a shopping center that has what's called relegated parking. So the building is, there's no parking between the building and the highway, but it's not right on the highway. There's space there for various things, landscaping and whatnot.
So I wonder if you looked at that particular example there, I mean, from a safety concern perspective, you know, if we had a zero setback rule and you look at the corner edge there on the road, would that be even highlighted at that point in time? What would the decision making be for that corner side? I get that you would have the whole building in front of the road necessarily right there, but a corner of it could be in front of the road. And then on the other side, you might have property that's restricted in terms of expansion. So to me, that if I was looking at that and I was looking at a main road or a road that was passing by there, I'd be concerned that it's way too close. Just one mistake, right? Get the corner of the building.
Yep, I concur with you, Tony, on that. I think there needs to be some rule of order on that. And 25 feet does seem to be a compromise. I mean, I think safety has a lot to do with that, not only the sidewalks and lines and everything else, but I think it's prudent to do that now rather than wait 5 or 10 years later and you're not sure how that's going to work out there. And I think you need to set that rule now.
And I would note that, at least on the notes right here in the surrounding counties, all laws are the least restricted at 10 feet, the rest are at least 20 feet or more. So if we get zero, we would be the least restricted.
That's an odd situation, isn't it?
All the law being more friendly.
All righty, do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approves ETA 1901 ordinance to amend Chapter 22 of the Flatiron County Code by the addition of a new subsection 2211.5 and 2211.12.5 to reduce the minimum of setbacks for properties in industrial subdivisions according to draft ordinance version 2.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So made.
A motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Y'all.